from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones. Every single one of them covered like a blanket by this radio program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. My honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. And I guess I ought to note first, the ratings are in. The ratings have begun to come in for the various cities around the nation, and I get a special version for the weekends of the the 2 days that I carry forth, Saturday and Sunday. And in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the biggest radio markets by 1, 2, and 3. Not only were we number one in each category, but we had increased by some incredible 100-something%. For example, I think in L.A., New York was astounding. Chicago was astounding. I mean, it was just an amazing sweep, amazing sweep. So as I've always done over the years, even though it's now just the weekend, I want to thank you all. Just astounding numbers, astounding. All right, on my webcam this night is a, I thought, very special picture of a snowman. You don't want to miss this. It's kind of, it's humorous, let's put it that way. And so check it out. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, upper left-hand corner, Art's webcam, click on it. Something to let you know spring be a coming. All right. We have something going on in the Bell household, which I should tell you about. As you know, we have four cats. Four. Well, we're close to having number five, I'm afraid. Turns out a little white cat, seems to be a female, about a year or less old, has been coming up to our porch and laying on, you know, on the bench out there on the front porch. And so once again, the Bells have deployed the Have a Heart trap. We have put in the Have a Heart trap a little bit of tuna fish, which they find totally irresistible. However, I must add, last night we put down, you know, two little dribbles of tuna fish before the Have a Heart trap, and this cat ate the two little dribbles of, and then didn't go in and feast on the really big feast inside. Of course, the door would have closed, so we may have a very smart female cat on our hands. I'll let you know as developments occur. It could well be that during one of my programs tonight or tomorrow, this little girl will walk into our trap, and then we have five cats. That's the way it's going to work out. We can't let her just stay out and fend for herself. She's taken care of a couple of birds. We found the carcasses, so she's hungry. All right, the following, what I'm going to do right now is sort of narrow casting, you know, and I fully understand that, but that's okay. My hobby is amateur radio, as you know, and I'm here to tell you tonight there has been, I hope all the hams are listening, and if you're not, I'm going to repeat this tomorrow night so you'll get to hear it twice. I'm doing that so that the hams out there can call up their friends and say, hey, listen, and I hope what I'm about to do turns out all right. So turn on the best radio you have. There's been a giant technical advance in ham radio, in single sideband communications. It's called ESSB, Enhanced Single Sideband. Now, you're about to hear two very short recordings that I just made. Actually, I didn't make them at all. A friend of mine, Ben, in Salem, Oregon, made them. So both of these recordings were made, oh, I don't know, almost 1,000 miles away. They're of me, but they're made about 1,000 miles away. So they were recorded by the same station, about 900 or 1,000 miles, whatever Salem is from here. The first recording you're going to hear is standard single sideband that's been used for years by hams and other, you know, shortwave broadcasters. And it's the typical sort of Mickey Mouse sounding sideband. And the second represents the advance that I'm talking to you about, and for the hams out there, recorded by an ICOM radio at 3.6 kilohertz. So first the 2.4 and then the enhanced sideband. Let's see what sounds best to you. Here's the standard old usual 2.4.
This is W6OBB in Prop, Nevada, with a brief recording at standard bandwidth of 2.4. Hello, test 1234.
I think you get the idea. Here's enhanced sideband.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo, located in Prump, Nevada, where it is a beautiful evening at about 65 degrees right now on a Saturday night. Absolutely wonderful, and I'm giving you a demonstration of what audio at 3.6 sounds like.
All right, we'll hold it right there. So that should have been as plain to you as it was to me. This is a gigantic advance, and I'm doing it for two reasons, so that the hams out there who have never heard it before, if all they have is a 2.4 receiver, can hear it now. That's one good reason. And the second reason is, the organization that represents hams, you know, the ARRL, for some strange reason, even after the Federal Communications Commission has stated without any equivocation they will not regulate ham radio by bandwidth, and that's the question we're talking about here, bandwidth, they have put forward a proposal to the FCC that would, in fact, handcuff what has always been an experimental service. Ham radio is an experimental service. You know, that's what we're here for, to experiment, to develop new things. And this ESSB is a new thing. And guess what, folks? The FCC just announced, I mean, this is an advance that amateur radio operators came up with, but it's so good. The FCC just announced that the commercial broadcast stations, shortwave broadcast stations, are going to start using it, this enhanced SSB. And again, the FCC said recently they wouldn't regulate ham radio by bandwidth. Nevertheless, one of the most exciting changes in ham radio, and it is an exciting change. I mean, after all, one more time, listen to the difference, please. Listen carefully.
All right. This is W6OBB in Prop, Nevada.
All right. That versus what you're going to hear now.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo.
What is easier to listen to? Well, there's not much choice there, is there? You know, I petitioned the hams to write to the league or whatever and say, let's not do this. I mean, what, for example, if some really spiffy new digital thing comes along that, you know, would be 4 kilohertz, and we will have shot ourselves in the foot? That wouldn't be a good idea. I mean, radios that have been made, hundreds, thousands, even hundreds of thousands of radios would suddenly be illegal because they would be too wide. We're talking about bandwidth here. And so instead of sounding like Mickey Mouse, it doesn't have to be that way anymore, as you can clearly hear. There's a significant difference. Now, I'll repeat this tomorrow night. So if you have a friend who's a ham radio operator, call him up and say, hey, listen, tomorrow night, because he's got something kind of important to talk about. That's ESSB. Now, let's look briefly at the rest of the world. Distressed, out of cash, in disguise, it seems a missing Georgia bride-to-be turned up on a seedy stretch of Route 66 and told authorities Saturday that she'd been abducted, then finally copped to the truth. Seems she fled the feeling of pressure she had about her looming wedding. Jennifer Wilbanks, 32, was picked up by police after a bus trip that took her through Las Vegas, near me here, to a payphone just outside Albuquerque, a 7-Eleven down there, where she called her fiancé, John. This would be a Dear John phone call, right? And said she'd been freed by kidnappers. So I don't know if that amounts to a Dear John or John, I'm nervous, we'll try it later kind of thing. Two veiled women shot at a tour bus, and a man, the brother of one shooter and the fiancé of the second, blew himself up as he leapt off a bridge during a police chase on Saturday. All three attackers died, and nine people, four of them foreigners, were wounded in an apparent revival of violence against Egypt's vital tourism industry. As a matter of fact, when Ramona and myself were in Egypt, we barely escaped a big slaughter that occurred there. Oh, this is sort of another program note. I know I promised last weekend that you would hear George Lutz of the Amityville Horror. And somehow the left hand and the right hand didn't know what they were doing. It ended up with a repeat of the incredible Evelyn Paglini, but not what was promised, which was George Lutz. There's a big deal going on now about the Amityville Horror, as you know, with the remake out. And so we received so many emails, so many. In fact, this guy goes on, I didn't go out. You see, he had told all his friends. So he says, I didn't go out the next day for fear of facing the wrath of my friends. It was also meant to be an introduction for many of them to Coast to Coast, and what an introduction it would have been. Well, and here's another one. I was disappointed when the rebroadcast of the George Lutz interview did not air on 42405. I pray you decide to air this interview in the very near future, or make it a blast from the past show that perhaps the subscribers can listen to. All right, well, you're saved. What we're going to do, because we got so many emails, I mean, it was a tragic technical screw-up of some kind. I don't know what happened. We are going to replay the George Lutz interview next Saturday, May 7th. So I really feel very badly about that. I'm poorly about it. I'm very sorry we didn't get it on. It's just one of those things. And so we'll get it on May 7th. It is really worth hearing. George Lutz was an amazing interview. The real story of the real Amityville Horror. And it's quite a story. So coming up May 7th. More than 4 years after solar maximum, the sun continues to produce very big sunspots. There's one transiting the solar disk now. It would be about five times the size of planet Earth. That's big. In other words, big enough to see with the unaided eye, but please do not look at the sun without aid, or you may end up blind as a bat. The sun can hurt you, so be very careful about that, but there is indeed a very, very large sunspot up there. All right, I'm already getting assailed by tons and tons of fast blasts. Gary in Newburgh, Oregon says, Art, you sounded great on ESSB. I'll write and support it. Well, write the league and support it. The American Radio Relay League. And Aaron in Ontario says, outrage is what I feel about what the FCC is doing. Wrong. It's not the FCC. This is a proposal to the FCC that is going to be made by the American Radio Relay League that I think is terribly misguided. And then I've got about 10 people begging me to do it one more time. Okay, very briefly, this is a standard recorded at the same distance by the same person on the same, not the same night, actually different nights. At any rate, one is 2.4, the standard old, in my opinion, Mickey Mouse sounding hard to listen to sideband. Here you go.
This is W6OBB in Prop, Nevada, with a brief recording at standard bandwidth of 2.4.
Sounds a little.
Test 1234. Once again, this is a recording at a standard bandwidth generally used at 2.4. Hello, test 1234. W6OBB.
Sounds a little Mickey Mouse-ish, right? A little thin. Well, here it is, not quite so thin.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo, located in Pahrump, Nevada, where it is a beautiful evening at about 65 degrees right now on a Saturday night. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm giving you a demonstration of what audio at 3.6 sounds like. So there you have it. From Pahrump, Nevada, I'm Art Bell, W6OBB.
There you have it indeed. That's quite a difference, I would say. Now, I don't know if it's coming through your radios, and you're able to hear the difference. It was my hope that you could. I mean, it is a gigantic advance. And being an experimental band, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. There's so much excitement about this on the ham bands. I'll repeat that tomorrow night. So if you didn't get a chance to get it or whatever, please now don't fast blast me. Wait until tomorrow night. We'll repeat it. This is worrisome. Do you remember when Ed Dames talked about bees dying, said a lot of bees would die? Hello, Art. I just saw this on mainstream TV about the honeybees dying off. Half of them are already dead. It brought back for me what Ed Dame said. Eek. By late spring, we could see an awful lot of bees die, warned Lawrence Cutts, a bee inspector with the Florida Division of Plant Industry. We're in considerable trouble. U.S. beekeeper Jane Beckman said, this bee die-off is nearly unprecedented. I've been on the bee biology list a long, long time, and there's no record of a bee die-off of this magnitude in the U.K., it's United Kingdom. Peter Dalby said that Varroa is already responsible for some keepers losing up to 90% of hive populations. That's incredible. And if that's not enough for you, that's in the category of bees, we now have exploding toads. And I'm sure if you listened to the program last week, George could not have avoided reading about exploding toads. Boom! More than 1,000 toads have indeed puffed up and exploded in a Hamburg pond in recent weeks. And German scientists have no explanation whatsoever for what could be causing the combustion. Both the pond's water and the body parts, of the toads have been tested, but scientists have been unable to find a bacteria or any kind of virus or anything that would cause the toads to swell up and pop. So a thousand toads have blown up in a pond in Germany. Good Lord, that is absolutely, absolutely awful. You know, you're sitting at your local pond. Can you imagine just sitting at your local pond, enjoying the sounds of the pond and the water and the little insects that are buzzing around when, kaboom, a frog blows up? Absolutely sort of ruin everything for you, wouldn't it? I'm going to read you this email. I debated whether I had to read this to you or not, and I guess I'm still debating, and it could be BS, but it doesn't come across that way at all, frankly. It simply says, hi, Art. I'm a New York police detective, New York Police Department detective, and we've been getting some intel on a possible electromagnetic pulse attack by third world nations lobbing a scud with a nuke into our atmosphere, bringing the U.S. to its knees. Can you get hold of an expert who could discuss the scenarios and the ramifications? And I have the name of this officer, but I think that I will withhold it. Oil prices. How are you doing at the pump out there, folks? Listen to this. Will oil prices hit $380 a barrel? A new report is warning that crude prices, this is from unknown country, by the way, now about $50 a barrel. That's what they are. They're $50 a barrel right now. Right? $50 a barrel. So try and imagine, you know, base $50 is what at the pump now? Crawling up on $3? We went through Baker, California the other day, and then premium there was $3.19. So everywhere else crawling up on $3. So $50 a barrel now, $380 a barrel by 2015. $380 a barrel. So you can only imagine what the pump price would be. I'm sure that could be calculated. Perhaps one of you would be willing to do that and tell me what the pump price at $380 a barrel would be. That's what analysts are saying. That's incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible. That's over the top. And long before, in my opinion, it ever gets to $380 a barrel, the economy is going to go. I mean, we get everything we have trucked to us. Or if it isn't trucked to us, it's flown or it goes on a train or whatever mode of transportation, but all of them eat up diesel number two or whatever it is they use to get it from here to there. So everything is going to start costing more, and the economy is going to go. And while we're on that subject, the economy, there's a loose connection to what the president has been saying about Social Security, and this is blowing me away. really blowing me away. Basically, what was the exact quote? I've got it here. I wrote it down here somewhere here. The president said he's going to change Social Security so that it will help people most in need. Now, it'll help people most in need. What does that mean? That means, isn't that what welfare programs do? They give money to the needy, and I'm not against welfare at all. I know there are people who have legitimate need, absolutely no question about that, none. No question. But what's this about? We're not supposed to turn Social Security into a welfare program, are we? Or are we? Maybe we are. Anyway, it's sad. So, President Bush, I don't know what you're doing out there. But I wouldn't think this would be the way to do it. That's something, if I've got it correct, wasn't the promise that we pay into it all our lives? It's an insurance program, not welfare, but insurance. And then when we get to the right age, we begin to get it back. Wasn't that it?
To burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories all, and they use them to help us to
we're about to go into open line. So, the numbers are a little different through the weekend. Listen very carefully for that which is appropriate to you.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Top of the hour comes Greg Braden and the God Code. The secret of our past, the promise of our future. He's an expert at connecting the past and future, and he thinks he's found something in our genes. There is a... And strange. All right, to the phones we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
Calling from Wham Country up here in Western New York.
Welcome.
I just wanted to a couple of points on the energy pending energy crisis.
Mm-hmm.
President Bush's energy policy. The two concerns I had, the way I understand it was the drilling to be done in the Arctic Reserve, that most or all of that oil was going to be sold overseas, and they were all fired up to. Past that ability to drill in the Arctic Reserve, and it's not going to be used here in our nation.
Well, it's really strange the way the whole oil thing works. I mean, we ship oil from Alaska to Japan, which doesn't seem right, but I guess economically somehow it is. I mean, the whole world's oil market is it operates in sort of a strange way, and you can't think of it from our point of view here in the U.S., but sort of as a world market.
I can't help but thinking that the Bush heritage of being involved with big oil.
You don't think, do you?
It kind of seems a little one-sided at times.
Huh. I've thought about this many times. I noticed in the president's speech the other day, he mentioned biodiesel. I thought that was at least a sort of a little jump ahead. I'm really frightened about this. I mean, I talked to somebody a few moments ago who did the calculation and said that at $380, accounting for inflation we've got now, it'd be about $14 and something a gallon at the pump. Can you imagine that?
That would be the end of life as we know it.
You betcha. You bet it would.
Very quickly.
Very quickly indeed.
I tend to think that it's going to happen a little sooner than later.
Matter of fact, if we're nearing $3 a gallon now, which I had predicted last year, and if you sort of consider between $3 and between $14 and something, where's the breaking point? I don't think it's that far the other side of $3 myself. I mean, $5, $6, I don't know.
At what point do we start down the other side of the hill?
That's right.
Have a good evening, Art.
You as well, sir. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good evening.
Hi, Art. This is Justin in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hello.
And I had a question for you. You were talking about the ESSB.
Yes.
And you're talking about bandwidth. And I was kind of curious, how much more bandwidth does that have compared to the radio I have now?
Well, for example, the standard sideband, as I mentioned, is 2.4. And what you heard in the second piece, the ESSB piece, that was received at 3.6 in a standard ICOM radio.
That's a pretty big difference there.
That's a pretty good size difference, but there's audio processing equipment and stuff like that involved too. And I don't know how well it came through your radio, but there's a pretty damn big difference in the way it sounds and the amount of fatigue you have in trying to listen to it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that was excellent, Art. It sounded real good. And now, so this is not something I can send my radio in and have it modified or anything like that, is it?
Oh, of course it is.
Oh, even my Ranger 2950?
There's nothing, sir, that cannot be modified.
All right.
It's just a matter of will.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Take care. It's just a gigantic breakthrough. I mean, there's no question about it. And again, you know, I'll repeat it tomorrow night for those who want others to hear it, that sort of thing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Mark in Amagordo, New Mexico.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, wow, on the ham radio thing.
Oh, you could hear the difference? I wasn't sure whether it would come through the radio or not.
At least through the AM radio.
So you could tell the difference.
Oh, yes, there's a big difference.
Okay.
I am actually a rookie ham radio operator myself. Unfortunately, my radio is sort of kaput right now.
Kaput?
Yeah, kaput.
Yes, I'm familiar with kaput.
about the gas problem.
Yes.
My friend's school, they actually have to start riding the bus again because they can't afford the gas prices.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's going to be more and more of that as time goes on. So we had, in my opinion, sir, better get off our collective duffs and start doing some alternative energy work fast. There ought to be a Manhattan-style project to move America as quickly as possible into all these. You know, there's no single answer. There's really no magic bullet in this area. We're going to have to do biodiesel. We're going to have to do solar panels and wind and every other form of energy that we can muster up, and we're going to have to start doing it damn soon or we're going to be in trouble. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Yes. Art. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hi. I want to talk about the jogger that went missing. That was in the news recently.
The lady who apparently got cold high heels and yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the weirdest story, and it almost seems like the way the news slanted it was It was just totally insane. Now,
well, you know, we worry a lot, of course, about kidnappings, and they thought that's what it was, and that's why it became a story. If she had just gotten cold feet, that would have been one thing, but to come up with that story because of it, that's why she got the attention.
But the idea that she perpetrated a hoax, it was really the media that perpetrated a hoax on the American people. At first, you know, they said she got abducted. And
well, that's not the media's fault. I mean, it was thought she was abducted because that's what the message that went back, that she was abducted, right? So it's not the media that perpetrated the hoax. The media just sort of reported what really happened, I guess. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I'd like to speak with Art.
That would be me. Turn your radio off, please.
I'm going to do it right now, Art.
That's good. Thinks I'm a screener, although she did call me Art.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You're very welcome. All right. What is your first name?
My name is Tom. I'm calling from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay, Tom.
Listening to you on WABC. Of course, you're number one here.
Man, I'll tell you, the ratings were incredible.
Listen, let me tell you real quick. We had I won't mention the talk show host who was on in your spot last year.
Yes.
And we all missed you a lot. And maybe, you know, some of us sent in emails and we called. So we're glad to have you here. You've been here a while, but it's just a pleasure, Art.
Happy to be there.
Listen, real quick, I'm calling in on an incident that happened Thursday night here. I'm right across, we're on the Hudson here in Jersey City, and we face Manhattan, and we usually have the large Sikorsky helicopters that patrol our skies here.
All right.
Sometime around 4:15 in the morning, I guess that's Friday morning, we had like five of them lined up, and we could see them right from our window, and there were like 25 to 30 white lights that were all over the place. Now, we're on the glide path to Newark Airport. They had shut down the glide path, so there was no commercial aircraft coming in. And they were out there for about 40 minutes.
Well, what do you think they were doing?
Well, they were after these white lights. And the reason I know this, about 17 or 18 minutes into us watching this, my wife and I out the window, two of them came close enough that we could just see what they were. They were just white circles. We couldn't see anything physical there.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of the Sikorsky helicopters peeled off to turn around towards it, they just took off. They were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there were quite a few over. And we thought, well, we'd see something on the news here or something, but nothing was ever played. But they were up there for about an hour and a half. And the activity lasted probably over 40 minutes.
Well, that's bizarre. Maybe somebody will call in with an explanation, you know, some kind of exercise going on or something. West of the Rockies, you're a dial tone, so we'll not talk to you. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, my God, I am?
Yes. Turn your radio off, please.
Turn the radio off, please.
Just passing the order on.
Oh, wow. Well, I have a couple of questions. Well, number one, I will not be shy on this. I will say, you know, at one point I had an abortion. At another time, I said to the aliens, I said, come and take this baby away from me, and they did. And they did, and then that was a second child, but then I ended up having twins.
Wait. Who took the child away?
The aliens did.
The aliens. So you think that was a hybrid, and they just came to claim their own?
Yes, indeed, they did.
Hmm.
Because I am in great teachings.
Well, maybe they feel that they would be better off bringing this child up as a gray.
As a gray. It was one of the, yes, indeed, as one of the grays.
Actually a gray American.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, as a gray American, and I gave it up. And then I ended up having twins, and I've lived my life. And
well,
now
wait a minute, are the twins also alien, half alien?
The twins have aliens that come to visit.
No, this is
Raven.
A very...
Raven has...
No, wait, This is a specific question. Are the twins half alien? Or are they just friends with aliens?
I really don't know. I know that Raven...
Well, you were there. Right?
They, to the best of my knowledge, are not. But that Raven does have the Greys, and that Naya does have the Pleiadians.
All right, well, we'll hold it right there. Raven and Nyla, huh? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, good morning, Mr. Bell. I was calling to ask you about something I had read in a computer magazine about you lending your voice on a certain computer game.
Really? What have you read?
I read that there is a certain computer game. How do you want me to spill the beans, or would you like to have the honor?
I don't care. You go ahead and spill them.
Okay. I read in the most recent issue of PC Gamer.
Yes.
About a game coming out called Prey.
Yes.
That features clips of you doing voiceover with callers reporting UFO activity that correlates with events in the games, and I was very interested to know if that was true or not.
Yes, I believe that is to be true.
Oh, how much voiceover work have you done, or have you not?
Absolutely none yet. It's arranged to be done, so I guess I'll be doing it.
Oh, good deal, good deal. I look forward to buying that game when it comes out.
I thought it'd be fun, you know?
I think it will be, and it'll certainly lend, kind of a neat factor to it. Whether you're a fan of video games or not, it'll certainly be something for all the listeners who are into that type of thing. And before I go, I just want to say congratulations on your new ratings, and I love listening to you. I actually listen to you on XM Satellite Radio, and so that comes a little bit clearer than the local AM station.
Then I take it the demo I did a little while ago on XM was very clear.
Oh, yes. It was clear and definite, the difference between the two of them.
There you are. All right. Thank you very, very much, and take care. It's true. The makers of this new game, Prey, contacted me, and I said, sure, you know, it sounds like fun. At this point in my career, I just take on projects that are, you know, sound like they're going to be fun. And I've never been in a... Well, actually, I have been featured in a video game, I think, but my voice has never been in one, so that'll be new. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. I think he hung up. After all of that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Excuse me?
Okay, turn your radio off.
Keith in Mount Greenville?
No. Turn your radio off.
It's off.
Okay, good. Now, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. This is Keith from Greenville, Michigan.
Hello.
And I had a weird incident happen when I was a senior in high school. I had a dream that my grandfather passed away. And my dad told me that he passed away. And around my... I remember the dream. All around my dad, it was all black.
This was the very day, same day?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Deal?
Uh-huh. Yep, it happened about... I remember my dad kept telling me grandpa's dead. And I kept saying no, and I go to my dad and try to give him a hug. He pushed him away. Keith, your grandfather's dead. And I said, no. And I woke up from the dream. It was like 20 after 4 in the morning. And I got to go to school in the morning and told my mom about it. And probably 15 minutes later, a phone rang. And my mom took it, went to the bathroom, and came out and said, Keith, your dad wants to talk to you. My parents are divorced.
Okay, well, I think there, and then he told you. I think there's absolutely no question that the human mind does receive these kinds of messages in the form of a dream or even in a waking state. I think there's no question about it, at least none in my mind. The only question remaining in my mind, and it'll probably forever be there, is what's over on the other side of this physical existence. But the fact that we have increased and abilities that we don't yet understand in our brains, I think is almost simply without question. The living human brain, without question, has qualities that I think we'll not know about for decades, or perhaps 100 years yet. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Danny from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering if I heard your demonstration of your ham radio, and I could definitely hear the difference there.
Could you? Good. Enhanced single sideband is a gigantic leap forward, and I mean, if you had to listen to one of those two, kind of duh, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. The second was much clearer, even on my AM radio here.
Good. I wasn't sure how that would come out. What else is up?
Do you use, or have you ever used, you remember before the internet, with your ham radio system, bulletin boards?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes, sir.
Way back in the old days?
I ran a bulletin board.
Did you?
I wrote a bulletin board. I wrote the code for Commodore 64 bulletin board, and I had that up for years.
Really? Which one? Do you remember?
Not right this second. I can't remember what it was actually called. And I also wrote a modem program to go with it, and that was the end of my writing career, incidentally. And then we compiled it, and we did a lot of file sharing back then.
Yeah, me too. Do you use the AX25 protocol with the under Linux? I believe it is.
Oh, this is all new stuff now.
Yeah.
No, we were running at pathetically small speeds. I'm talking about a time when Commodore was king. I'm talking about a time when a 1 gigabyte hard drive was unheard of, but I had 11 of them. A whole gigabyte, my God! I think it was a couple thousand bucks per drive. Oh my, how times have changed, eh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Jeff from Birmingham.
Yo, Jeff.
When are you going to have Gene Myers from Space Island Group back on? I think he's got some new announcements coming up. I believe he's working with some folks over in Washington.
Oh, I think that's right. Turn your radio down, please. I'd love to have Gene Myers back on if he's got something really cooking.
He does this time. I talked to him not too long ago, and it's truly amazing that... I think his plan is the only one that links up pretty well with what our new NASA chief administrator wants, and that's a shuttle drive heavy lift launch vehicle. Because this Delta IV they're making in my state, in Decatur, Alabama, that thing is a real dog of a rocket, and that's something that people aren't talking about much.
I'm very worried about what our next generation is going to be of almost everything, whether it's passenger aircraft. The Concorde is now gone.
Sickening.
I mean, here we are in 2005. We can't even go faster than the speed of sound as a passenger anymore.
The Europeans are kicking our behinds with that magnificent new A380. It's not just that. The French have the Ariane 5.
Yep.
They've got this magnificent new Tarn Valley Bridge. We could stand to learn a lot from them.
And we haven't even gone back to the moon yet.
With all the money we wasted on this war, we could have not only had that, but we could have built a Bering Strait Bridge and got our oil money from the Russians, which made a lot more sense to me than all this other nonsense.
Might even be on Mars by now.
Oh, very quickly. Both Boeing and Lockheed Martin, with the Zenit sea launch and the Atlas V, used Russian space shuttle Strap-1 booster engines, the RD-170s and RD-180s, used in the Energia Baran's Strap-1 boosters.
All right, thanks. Take care. We've got a break. We're at top of the hour here. We're going to pause, and then we're going to talk with Greg Braden. He's been on before. He's a fascinating guy.